Hey! Hi, folks. Welcome to the diner. I'm James Lilac, sitting now at my accustomed place at the long boomerang pattern for Micah Counter at the diner on an old Highway 23, about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be right now. It's a gorgeous October day, and I'm hungry. Let's take a look at the chalkboard menu by the door. You know, you'd think I could have looked at it as I came through the door, but guess not. What we got here? Jupiter Jambalaya and Martian rice. What the hell did I walk into a Jetsons episode or something? Because, you know, in the Jetsons, like the Flintstones, the nomenclature for everything was related specifically to the available technology or cosmological worldview. I mean, in the Flintstones, everybody, you know, Mr. Stone, Mr. Granite, Hardy Har Har, you know, Mava Marble or something like that, the movie star comes to town, and Margrock. But somehow that idea of basing all of your proper nouns and the like in the prevailing technology seemed to just died out after a while. It didn't have a lot of people in the Bronze Age calling each other. Well, they didn't have much, you know. Mr. Bronze. Yes, Mr. Bronze. Would you like to go down to the Bronze Cafe? They've got bronze burgers today. I don't know. I've got a meeting at the Bronze Lunch. Anyway, in the Jetsons, it was just the same. The Jetsons were always having things like Jupiter Jambalaya. You know, the idea that we'd have this vast, technologically sophisticated society with ships to all parts of the galaxy, but we somehow could, you know, we'd be naming everything after gaseous giants in our own neighborhood. I don't think so. Anyway, why would we have Jupiter Jambalaya? You might ask. Well, it's quite simple. It's quite simple. It's simple and it's wonderful. Today is the day we slipped into Rastro talk. Today is the day we launch the rocket, Rorge, to the rune. No, we're launching the rocket today. Launch the locket. That sounds like some porno version of a great Alexander Pope poem. Today is the day we launch the rocket into low orbit. You might ask, why? Well, we'll get to that. You might ask how, at which point I'm beginning to wonder why you have so many questions, you standing there rocking on your heels, shooting these queries at me like rocks at my head. Be patient. It's a very simple rocket, actually. Sort of a scale model of a Saturn V, made out of reinforced trash cans, but they're painted black and white. And they're powered by some Estes rockets, which, I tell you the truth, I hope they work because I found them in some stuff that I was going through that my parents had boxed up for me after I turned 11 or 12 or so. So these are all Estes model rocket boosters from about 71, 72. I hope they work. We've got 150 of them all lashed together. Simultaneous ignition will be the problem. But it always is, isn't it? So what are we going to do with this thing? Well, aren't you going to ask how we're launching it? All of a sudden, no more questions? Well, I'll tell you, even though you didn't inquire. We've set up a gantry, we have, using our good friend, the 9-foot-tall Terminator Pillsbury robot from the future. We just simply extended his arms out, and he's holding the rocket erect, so to speak, and it looks, not that there's anything wrong with that, it just looks peculiar. Let's say we ran out of black and white paint towards the top and had to use sort of a, well, it would have been called a flesh tone back in the days when Band-Aid and crayon could get away with that, but, you know, it's nice, more of a peach now. Anyway, you get the picture, I hope. Sorry about the picture that you got. We're going to launch this thing, well, within the next half hour or so, if all goes well. And again, you might ask, why? Well, there are two reasons, and they're pretty good. First of all, today is the 50th anniversary of Sputnik. That's right, Sputnik, which was Russian for bleeping little ball that made half the people in the West fill their pants. It went up 50 years ago and made a couple of travels around the Earth, emitting its telltale, terrifying beep, and told everybody pretty much the Soviets had managed to put a bowling ball into space, a loud bowling ball. Actually, to tell you the truth, there's something oddly alluring about Soviet space technology. Simply because it's one of those parallel world things. Their moon landers looked very, almost insectoid in some strange way. But the original Sputnik was a thing of beauty, that sphere with the three little antenna coming off of it. You know, if America had put that thing up in the 1970s, we would have put orange balls on the end of each of the antennas so we could find it in the parking lot later. It would have been ugly. But there was a certain totalitarian chic to some of the Soviet styles, and I'll admit the Sputnik looked pretty good. Anyway, of course, the Sputnik spurred the space race. It's a hard thing to say if you've been drinking. And it led America to have a crash program, as they called it, to develop rockets. And as it turned out, a crash program was pretty much what we had at the beginning, since most of them fell off the landing pad or blew up or didn't get there in the first place. But thus galvanized, we poured our resources and attentions into space and won the space race, went to the moon, and then promptly, of course, having got there, I decided it was time to slink back home and watch Hee-Haw. Oh, sorry there. Anyway, I'm sorry, I just knocked over something again. Put it on my tab. Happened at the same time as it did last week. Anyway, the thing of it is that it's been 50 years, and you know, now we're talking about going back to Mars, which is great. I don't think I'll be alive to see it, but the idea that we're making steps again to get out there and build giant ships that eventually will go faster than light and, you know, eventually lead to Klingons and the Borg and the Dominion and the rest of that crap. I mean, come to think of it, maybe we shouldn't go. There had to be some points in Star Trek and the Federation in the 24th century where people sitting around saying, what do we get out of this exactly? What do we get? We got a lot of tourists with strange noses and ridges on their foreheads and some peculiar ethnic food made of worms and glue, and it's alive and it sings at you in your digestive system and nobody wants to eat it. And, you know, about every 2 or 3 years or so, we get invaded by you know, what do we have a few years ago? Oh, that's right, a big Slim Jim with a volleyball sticking off the end of it came over and was calling for the whales. Yeah, that was it. We almost died from that one. And then the Borg came, then the Klingon came, then the Dominion came, and, you know, don't even start me on the parallel universes. Is it worth it? I'm not sure. U.S. out of Milky Way. Well, I don't want to go that far, necessarily. I am pro-space, pro-exploration, all those things, pro-science, yay science. And that's why we've decided to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Sputnik by putting up our own. Now, there is another reason. Just as the space race was started because of the Cold War, well, there's a sort of a Cold War between us and what has long been our rival diner. You've heard me speak of it before. It's the diner on the other side of Lake Lalaque. It used to be run by a shadowy organization with the initials of MPR. Never did really figure out what they were up to, but they were. It was a sonorous, careful sort of place. Very well-intentioned, and it took you a long time to get the meal, but, with the, you know, it came with 16 adjectives, and the chef had a low voice, and all the rest of it. And the jukebox only played, it was strange, the jukebox only played 17 seconds at the most of any song, and then somebody would start talking. I mean, it's the damnedest thing. So that's been under new ownership for some time. There is a fellow. Well, he used to be a cab driver, and now apparently he is in control of the enemy diner, and he's a grinning fellow, no tie, open shirt, a jacket, 5 o'clock shave, sort of a strange fellow who believes that any day now the 12th chef is going to rise out of Lake Lalaque, holding forth some holy spatula, and that'll bring about the end of the world. And from what I can tell, he's sort of tailoring everything at the enemy diner, from the menu down to the decorations to the way the customers are treated, to bring about the return of the 12th or hidden chef. Not a man with a firm grasp on reality, frankly, but our satellite photos, by which I mean somebody climbed up in the tree with a telephoto lens, have been able to detect that they have their own pseudo-Sputnik program. They're planning to put something into orbit over the diner. Our diner. The good diner. I can only imagine why. I can only guess at the devious purpose that they have. Surveillance, of course. But bombardment with, you know, forks? I don't know. So we're setting up our own. The only problem is we don't really have the oomph, so to speak, technologically, to put it into a high orbit. So it's going to be our surveillance device will be in a low orbit. Very fast, very low orbit. About 50 feet above the ground. And we figure, you know, we've had some guys out there cutting a path through the woods. So if we time it, you know, if we just get it right, it'll make it through the path and it won't catch on any branches or something like that. And as far as we can tell, there's nothing at this particular spot on the Earth that's going to encounter if it goes at a height of 50 feet. Kind of lucky that way. We're assuming, of course, the enemy diner will have its Sputnik on a different trajectory, and that they will not crash into each other like carom balls at some point and destroy all of our hard-won technology, most of which came from the back of the Estes model rocket catalog. Well, so that's going to go off in a little while here. Let's amuse ourselves, shall we, by seeing what we have on the jukebox here today, which I'm sure has been stocked full of space-themed songs to get us in the mood for our launch or our anniversary celebration. Let's go straight to the top. Let's go to A1. Comrades, we have received instructions from Moscow via the Americans' rock and roll music. We are to do the Sputnik. You have your instructions. Examine them, please. The foot is to be put out, then please to be bringing foot back, and then place hand on the partner's back. There. You have your instructions. Commence Sputniking.
It was a real cool thing, and then it went to Venus and began to swing. It traveled on down to a Mercury,
and I was down to Earth. Where ought to be?
Well, come on, Rudy, baby, do the Sputnik. Well, it's the newest dance, and it's so slick. Well, you can learn to do it almost right away. It's a swinging dance that is here to stay. Come on, Rudy, baby, you can learn it. Don't mean, baby, come on, baby, do the Sputnik. You're gonna do it, you're gonna do it. Yeah, let's do it. Well, let's do it.
A song based on Sputnik. Who would have thought it? I love it. I love the way the Americans can co-opt anything. They throw a satellite over our heads, and within minutes, we have turned it into a dance craze that leads teenagers to copulate. I mean, you can't beat a civilization that can do something like that. And, not coincidentally, also beat your missiles and your rockets and go to the moon before you did. Nanny, nanny, boo-boo, as I think it says in the plaque where the Berlin Wall used to be. Try something else here. Let's skitter down the charts and go to B1.
You're just a flying Sputnik floating on air. The way you fly about, you don't seem to care. When I look for you, you're not in view. You're having your fun playing peekaboo. Leave the outer space, join our loving race, and start your spinning, spinning round my heart.
Sputnik as a metaphor for romantic disinterest and infidelity. God, I love this country!
hard as Formica. Then again, you're as ugly as Laika. That's the dog they sent up next, right before Eurydice.
You're just a flying Sputnik, losing your speed. Unless you change your ways, how can you succeed? Your fuel supply will be getting low. Your heart becomes weak and the beat is slow. Flee the outer space, join our loving race, and start your spinning, spinning round my heart.
This was how American society chose to deal with the sudden manifestation of Soviet astronomical superiority, by consciously choosing to subconsciously sublimate their fear, terror, panic, and general unease into a series of pop ditties which allowed them to infantilize and do away with, if you will, the looming threat of Soviet military superiority. What was Sputnik, after all? A small ball, a spermatozoa, traveling through the Empyrean dark to impregnate a new dawn of red man, perhaps. But where's the irony? The irony is over there, in the box.
I imagine that's how some people managed to look at this. But, you know, we were told that Sputnik caused fear and dread and loathing. Not a lot of fear and dread and loathing going around so far. Do you hear any fear, dread, loathing? Neither do I. Hold on a second.
How's the countdown going? Good.
They're fueling it with liquid oxygen. Well, they have some sort of liquid, and they got a guy breathing on it, so... that would be...
Wouldn't that be liquid carbon dioxygen?
Yeah, liquid carbon dioxygen. You can tell that I passed geology in college. Let's take a look and see what else we have here. Continuing our Sputnik theme, I believe we can find something on D2.
Well, they've turned me loose in a big old world all my own. Though I've got the world by the tail, I don't seem to have a home. So I guess I'll just roam around up here in outer space. Well, they've turned the knob and I've got the job, Lord, help the human race. Oh, Sputnik, they call me, I'm as crazy as a loon. I'm pretty high up in the sky, but I'll never reach the moon. I don't know what they expect of me, but they'll make all connections. Why, they blasted me off so doggone fast I didn't even get directions.
What is this, Ghost Riders in the Van Allen Belt? If you listen in the background, you'll note there's a fellow who's actually playing the beeping sound of Sputnik on his guitar.
Coming close to old moon face, I thought I'd drop anchor and just look a while.
Space, there are no anchors.
I wonder why everyone wants to see him so bad, why he don't even smile. Up here beeping and chasing around, I don't see what could be found. And believe me, I'd rather be down there looking up than stuck up here looking down. Well, I've showed the world from side to side what's in my power to do. I played my cards and I played them hard. The rest is up to you. There's a saying that's been a-going on, so let this be a token. United we stand, divided we fall. No words were truer spoken.
Truer spoken.
Well, it's about time to be glad and alone. So until I get back around on this side of the world again, this here's old Sputnik signing off.
Big Bad John. That would have been a great novelty song. Big Bad John actually reaches up and swats Sputnik out of space. Well, we seem to have run out of Sputnik songs. I mean, there can't be that many, can there? So this would be as good a time as any to take a little break. I'm going to head over, see how the countdown is going, and you stay right there and listen to a word from our sponsor.
Dr. No, big, from Russia with love. Bigger, Goldfinger, even bigger, now. Here comes the biggest bond of all. Thunderball. Now, James Bond does it. Everywhere. Look up. Look down. Look out. Here comes the biggest Bond of all. Albert R. Broccoli and Harry Saltzman present Sean Connery in Thunderball. Produced by Kevin McClory. Panavision, Technicolor, a United Artists release. Thunderball.
Down and blast off, okay?
That's a good-looking spacecraft, let me tell you. I got a little bit more work to do. They're finishing up some final touches. Now they're going to be bringing in the final fueling. Just a second here. And they're filling up the second stage now.
Why are you using premium? That's a scam, for heaven's sakes. Just use regular.
Now the first stage is the Estes rocket. The second stage is the... is apparently gasoline-driven. Yeah, we'll send her up in about 10, 15 minutes or so. To be utterly scientifically precise. Well, I know, I mean, we're not putting this thing around a planetary body. You don't have to really coordinate anything. Just pop her up when we want. Probably should tell the guys at the airport about it, though. Yeah, I wouldn't want that bouncing off the bottom of a plane if it gets that high.
Hey, what are we going to call this thing? We can't call it Sputnik. That's been done. What? Splatnik.
All right. Well, Splatnik will go up then. I'm going to get myself a nice spot for the folding chair here. And you know what? I wonder, anybody got any binoculars?
You got binoculars? Yeah, take a look over at the enemy diner. See what they're doing. The matter? Give me those binoculars.
Oh my God, they're on the pad.
They're on the pad. The gantry swung away. There's all kinds of flames and fire coming from the butt. They're in the final launch sequence. They're ready to go. We've got to launch this thing now. We've got to launch Splatnik now. Commence countdown. No, 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 you idiots. A proper countdown, a real countdown. 10 to 1, that sort of thing.
9.
Thank you.
7, 6, 5, 4.
They're launching
3,
two.
2, 1, fire.
Did it. It's up. Wow, and everything went well. Except for the fact that it set the Pillsbury Doughboy robot from the future on fire.
Guys, you wanna, yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, let's go inside and see if we can pick it up on the wireless. All right, let me flip open my laptop here and get the tracking software enabled. getting something. Trying to lock onto the signal. There it is. That's it. Appears to be working fine. And I know that's ours, too, because we did a little spying on the enemy diner's one. And it shouted death to the diner between every beep, so that's ours. It's a little lower than I would have liked, though. What do we want that thing at? 50 feet? Yeah, it's about 12 feet. It's about 12 feet above the earth. Going pretty fast, too. Well, 12 feet... It's a good thing our friend the Pillsbury Doughboy Terminator robot from the future is, under 10 feet or so. Otherwise, I'd take him right out. Sputnik, right in the old head. And again, we have had him up on a plinth.
How tall is that? I'm just worrying if it comes by and, you know, the Pillsbury Doughboy Terminator robot from the future is standing on the plinth that it...
Gott in Himmel! Wow. Took the head clean off. I can't even see it. Where did the head go? Probably knocked it into the next county. Wait a minute. Unless the speed of Splatnik was so great that it knocked the head... No, couldn't be. It couldn't be. Let me get my tracking software up again. Just as I feared, in our rush to beat the enemy diner into space, we knocked the Doughboy's head into orbit. Another day at the diner! I'm James Lilacs, and this has been The Diner for Friday, October 4th, 2007. Thanks for stopping by, and we'll see you down the road.